see if I can get it right today. I know you guys know I messed it up last week. Everybody stand with us this morning. Here at Second Congregational, we'd like to open up our service with a prayer, and not a prayer written by man, but a prayer written by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He taught us how to pray according to the book of Matthew. Pray with me, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's our God in heaven. Amen. Give him praise, church. Be seated and relax. Enjoy yourself. Welcome to church. Welcome to Sunday. How's everybody this morning? Just sit back and relax and have joy. You're in God's house. Amen. If you can't have joy on Sunday in God's house, you're in big trouble. So we're going to enjoy each other's company. We're going to read together responsive reading from Father's book. We're going to read from Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Read what it says. We will not hide them from their children. We shouldn't hide them from our children. Amen. We should give our children every chance to know the Lord. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. What a beautiful psalm. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 78. Amen? What a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful idea. Imagine telling your children about God. Can you imagine the concept? When you remove God from your house, when you remove God from school, something takes its place. Are you with me? And if it's not God, then you don't want to know what it is. Amen? You want to give your children and your grandchildren and your best friend a chance to know our Lord and Savior. Amen? You want to give him the hope that you have. You want to give him that joy. That's what God is all about. Amen? Praise the Lord. We tried a testimony last week, and again, I wanted to just say, we had our nine-year-old granddaughter was with us for 2.5 weeks, and I told her a story from the book of Kings about Solomon. And when we got home that night, my nine-year-old granddaughter said, "Can you show me that in the Bible, Pop?" And she actually sat on the couch, opened up the Bible, and I showed it to her, and she read the entire story. And just looking at a child who has nothing in her head but what you teach her, nothing in her head but what you tell her about God, and she was ready to receive, amen? Sometimes the hardest people to receive are people that have so much knowledge that they don't want to remove anything that they know because they feel like they have to give something up. But if you give up some of your knowledge and you get God's knowledge, amen, you get blessed, and guess what? The people around you get blessed, amen? That's our God. And I want to also remind you of this beautiful country that we live in and the difference between this country and other countries and how it started. Thomas Jefferson understood unalienable rights as fixed rights given to us by our Creator. By who? Rather than by government. The emphasis on our Creator is crucial because it shows that the rights are permanent, just as the Creator is permanent. Amen? Jefferson thought on the source that these rights were impacted by Oxford's William Blackstone, who described unalienable rights as absolute rights, showing that they were absolute because they came from him. They came from who? Who is absolute, and they were, are, and always will be, because the giver of those rights was and is and always will be. Hallelujah. They thought so much about it that James Madison, he actually started the Bill of Rights. And he wanted that because he was afraid that the government would someday decide to take away some of the rights that God has given to us. Amen? And the Bible and the Word and our country starts with we the people. Amen? This country is built on we the people. You look at the nations and the countries in the world and understand why they want to come here. Because we've been blessed by who? We've been blessed by God. Because we put God in the forefront of all we did in the days of Jefferson and Washington and Madison. They looked ahead, but they gave God that lead. They said, we're going to follow your lead, God. We're going to put you in the front. We're going to follow you. We're going to follow the values that you gave to us, the Ten Commandments. We're going to follow the words that you gave us for our children. We're going to teach our children. If you ever look up Harvard University, anybody here at Harvard University, you take some time and look up Harvard University and see when they started. It was all about, guess what? God. Amen? It was about God. What happened? We've allowed God to be removed. Who's the giver of the rights? God. God was front and central. We the people, brothers and sisters in Christ, we must come together as believers, amen, and lift up the world. We are all responsible. Every church, we've got to get rid of denominations. We've got to get rid of religions. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. We've got to come together and lift Jesus up in the world so that other people can see and learn and know, right, Miss Pat? How many know there's hate in the world? Hate is real. Evil is real. And if evil is real, then our God is real. And our God surpasses the evil, amen. He's under our feet. But the more you know him, the stronger you are. The more you get to know him, the better your life becomes. The blessings. Who sends the blessings? Man or God? Hallelujah. We need to look higher than the distractions. There's plenty of distractions. Amen? You see it every week. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going lion hunting this week. But it's so amazing. So amazing that people give their opinion before they know the answer, amen? They hear something and they give their opinion before they know exactly what the problem was, exactly what happened. What is right and wrong? We'll find out. But how many people know that they give their opinion before they even know what the story was, amen? We need to rise above the distractions. For what? For God's direction. Amen, Sergio? It's all about God. Every day you go to work, God's with you going to work. He knows your heart's desire. And the more you talk to him, the more you hear his voice. And guess what? You hear his voice different than I do. You hear a voice different because it's talking to your spirit, not to my spirit. Miss Pat, you hear God differently than I do. But he's talking to you. He wants you. He wants more for you than you could want for yourself. He sees you as a saint. He sees you as a beautiful person who knows you have so much to give. Don't look at age. Don't anybody look at age and say, that's all there is. No, with God, there's always something else. We have a friend who's 70 years old who decided he wanted to run for first selectman in Woodbury. Guess what? He's first selectman in Woodbury at the age of 70. He didn't give up the dreams. Amen? With God, you'll never give up the dreams. That's the testimony to our God. He said, I'm going to walk with you. Sometimes your ideas might not be right. And guess what? He'll show you. Amen? He'll show you. The Bible says he'll direct your path. How many have ever done anything wrong? So he's seen that already, amen? So why stay on what you did wrong yesterday? God said, I saw that. And Jesus said, I've forgiven you for that the second you asked me to, amen? So why walk with that? Why walk with the things that you've done when you need to look ahead to see the things that God can do, amen? That's why you come to church. That's what church is all about, for you to get closer to God. Not your pastor, not your brothers and sisters, but closer to God, amen? And it's my job and Deacon Gary's job at the Bible study to draw you closer to God, amen? To give you hope. How many want hope? I want hope. I want hope for everything. And you say, well, you're the pastor. Everything is good. I haven't seen my son in 16 years. 16 years. My heart's heavy. It's just, I've learned that it's so different with a son and a daughter. My daughter is so, she's just every day texting, every day calling, how you doing? Now, my son is like in his own world. I got a will. He lives in Arizona. I'll text him, and 4 days later, he'll text me back. Hi, Dad. How you doing? But I'm going to keep trying. Amen? And I keep every day asking God to bless him, to be with him, to help him. Amen? So just because somebody's preaching the word doesn't mean life is perfect for them, amen? Doesn't mean that everything is jolly. I've been in bed for 2.5 days. I went yesterday because our maestro and her husband celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary yesterday. And we went and we preached and we said a little second vow for them, and it was wonderful with them. And maestro will be back next week, I believe. But God is good. People say, well, you lost all that money. And I say, no, I didn't lose anything. God said I needed to rest, and guess what I'm doing? I'm resting. Amen? So let's just pray. Let's the testimony of God. That he's the giver of all good things. He has blessed this country because this country called on him. This country acknowledged God, and our rights are given by God. But God will not be mocked. He will not stand by us. We throw him away. But I know there's believers. I know there's believers in this church and in this world who will not let that happen. We will stay faithful. We will tell others about him. We will tell our children. We'll give our children that chance to know him. Not to know a church or a denomination. Get away from that. Just knowing God. And then finding a place where you can go and receive that word and find a new family. Because God said, if your family doesn't want to know you, I will bring you a new family. And boy, we're all testimony to that. These people in this church never want to leave because they love and they just talk and they share time together. And that's the testimony of God, that people love each other here. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your guidance, Lord. We just need to call on you and trust in you, put our faith in you, and you will make the way prosperous. You will give us that good success because you're the giver of all that blesses us. We need you, Lord. That's the testimony. We need you because you do answer. We need you because you do love us more than we can ever understand. None of us were there the day that Jesus died on that cross, so we didn't do anything to deserve that. He did it for us because he loved us first. When you know that in your heart, your joy will rise up above any distraction and any trial and any tribulation because Jesus said, I am always with you. What a beautiful God we serve and love. And that's his testimony. Give him praise and glory, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Good to see you guys this morning. You know, God, how many know that God doesn't take away from you the things that you love? Anybody know that? He's not looking to take away your joys. He knows that my wife and I love to play our music, and he blesses our music, amen? He just keeps us safe with that. He just keeps us, he said, now remember me, give me the praise and the glory, and just, we watch where we play, and we pray about where we play, amen? But God wants us to enjoy our music, amen? God wants you to enjoy fishing. He wants you to enjoy the Yankees. He wants you to enjoy everything in life. He doesn't want to take things away from you. He simply wants to bless you with more than you thought you ever wanted. Amen? Who wouldn't want a God like that? Amen? I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 11. This is so beautiful. So beautiful. This is Paul. Paul is saying, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me. Paul says, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul is saying, I have given you Jesus purely. I have given you, and you stand pure in front of God. Amen? Unaffected by false doctrine. You guys are pure. You're not into the false doctrine. You're not hearing anything, anybody's opinion. You're hearing God's word. Amen. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I've given you this. I've given you this. He said that you would bear with me a little folly. He says, for I am jealous. He's jealous of them because he knows how much love they're going to get and all the blessings, and he loves it with a love of jealousy. Amen. Not the kind of jealousy you see in the world today, but with beautiful Christian jealousy. He said, for I have betrothed you the one husband. How many husbands? Praise God, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, listen what he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from, now these five words, listen to these five words, that your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Say that with me, the simplicity that is in Christ. What does that mean to you, Ms. Pat? What does that mean to you, David? The simplicity. In other words, with God, God made it easy. Amen? Simplicity. He took all the other stuff out of the way, and he says, welcome to my world. Amen? Who has made it complicated? Man has made it complicated. And Paul is telling him, I'm giving you the simplicity. Because we all know that God sees no partiality. Everybody read that in the Word of God? He says that he sees no partiality. He doesn't care where you go or what you do. He cares about how you love him and how you worship him. Amen? He shows no partiality. Yet in man, there's partiality. My church is bigger than yours. My church is the only way to God. My church is the avenue. I talked to God and he said, come. How many have ever heard that? Amen? It's not about that. It's about the simplicity of Christ. Amen? It says, for if you, he who comes preaches another Jesus, who we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He's saying to them, if you get out of the simplicity of Christ, you get caught up in the bondage, amen? You get caught up in rules and regulations, amen? You get caught up in not being worthy, because the church says you're not worthy unless you get caught up and say, well, you didn't give enough this week, so you get caught up in that, amen? You get caught up in it, well, you got in trouble last week, we're not happy with that. Well, no, we bring you here and we pray for you, amen? We lift you up, we give you God. Paul is saying that if you allow other things to enter, that you're going to get caught in that web. You're going to fall out of the simplicity. Amen? Y'all understand what he's saying? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Paul never told the churches to conform or to organize. You notice that? Paul never told the churches to organize. He went to Corinth. He went to the Galatians. He went to the Romans. And he preached to them. And what did he preach to them? First of all, he preached Jesus. Amen? And he preached to them to their needs. Amen? Each church had its own needs. Each church had its own problems. Imagine that. A church with problems. And he preached to them to their own problems. He never told them, you need to unite with these and you need to do what these people are doing. He said, no. He said, each church had its own problems and I'm going to lead you through. Now, if you read all the letters and you read Peter and John, you'll notice that they all come together. Amen. If you read Corinthians and then you read Romans and then you read Galatians, you're going to see other things and you're going to understand. You see, in your life, what pertains to you. Hallelujah. Simple. Hallelujah. Every book we read, every lesson we learn must always lead us to who? God, to Jesus. Say Jesus. There's power in that name. Don't be afraid to say it. Say it out loud. Jesus. Hallelujah. There's power in that name. This church or any church can never stand if we compromise our beliefs. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody been reading the bulletin with my Deacon Chuck? He's been writing about the Advent. And you know how happy that makes my heart? Last Christmas, Chuck said to me, I'm not sure I want to do the candles because I'm not sure it's in the Bible. And I said to him, it's a good time for you to start looking it up for yourself, to get hungry. And Chuck is on a journey. Amen? He's on a journey, and he's excited about that journey. Amen? But that journey might not mean anything to any of us, because now he's Muhammad. Amen? He's Buddha. He's on a journey to look for who, Chuck? Look for God. You want to be right with who? With God. Amen? When I saw that in him, I saw a man change. I saw a man get a spiritual thing like, I want to know. And what he's studying, what he's writing, and what he's saying is what he's finding out. Amen? Other denominations do what they call Lent. Other denominations do Advent. And he's reading from Baptist, and he's reading, and you know what he's getting fed? He's getting fed God. Amen? He's searching for more of God. And every step that you take, Chuck, every move that you go forward, other people might not even want to know because it's not their journey. But every step you take forward should lead you to one thing. Should lead you to Jesus. Amen? That you learn why we do the Advent is a beautiful thing. Why some churches do Lent and put things on their forehead, the ashes, that's a beautiful thing, except when it becomes more than God, amen? When it becomes more important than being with God. Because you know there's two doors. I always say there's two doors. There's a door here, and there's a door of your church. And now you'd be surprised how many people would not walk through Jesus' door, but walk through the door of their church. Amen? Because they're programmed. They're in that church, and they're programmed. Are you with me? Each letter that Paul wrote tells us what to do and how to do it. You take the time to look it up. You take the time to read it sometime, and you'll start saying, hey, this pertains to me. Hallelujah. This is about my life right now. You know, there's some letters in the Bible that won't mean anything to you right now because it's not what's going on in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Just remember something. Who wanted to crucify Jesus? Who wanted him dead? Dead. An organization. Amen? An organization. People, and here's the word, people in power. Amen? They got organized. And they had leaders. They had the Pharisees. They had the high priests. They had the rabbis and the teachers and the scribes. And they were above the people. Remember, they walked with all the fancy clothes on, and they sat in the front row everywhere they went, and people looked at them and thought they were somebody. They knew the word of God, but they had power. And Jesus was right there, and they were afraid of one thing, that he would take away their power. And that's sometimes what you need to know. How many times did Jesus rebuke them when he was standing in the synagogues? Imagine that. The Lord said, they could have asked him for salvation. They could have asked him for healing. No, they wanted him to do a card trick. Prove to me that you're God. And said that on salvation, right there, reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and their lives would have changed forever. Amen? How many know God doesn't take things from you? Say it with me, come on. He doesn't take things from you. Hallelujah. Remember, Paul, what he said last week. Paul wanted to be the highest of high Pharisees. His when he was Saul, his whole goal was to be the best of the best of the Pharisees. And he met Jesus on his way to Damascus, amen? And this Jesus made him higher than he could have ever imagined every single day of his life if he lived to be 1,000. God lifted him higher with God's dream for him, amen? And that's what he's got for you. Thank you. Chuck, I am so excited for you. And I know that you're searching. And I want you to know that sometimes in your search, you're going to find other people don't understand. Because, see, you're in Muhammad's situation now. Muhammad went to search for God. How many know they ever read, you know about the Quran? Muhammad's first thing was to go and find God. And God talked to him because he searched for him. Amen? The rest of it is whatever, what God spoke or what he didn't speak. But you say, you read that and say, well, we don't do Lent here. And we don't. And so it's irrelevant because he was on a journey, amen? And I say it one more time, whatever journey you're on, the only place it should lead you is to Jesus, amen? And Jesus first. But now he's hungry, and I pray that I can make you all that hungry to want to know something. And that something will be the carrot that leads you to God. Are you with me? I have Kenneth Hagin. Have you ever heard of Kenneth Hagin's ministry? I have a whole list of his books. He's a minister out of, I believe, Oklahoma. This is one of the power of praise. And there's so many books that he has that I've eaten these books. Amen? I've eaten them, but I know that there are things in here that he said that I don't really quite agree with. But I know that he talked about Jesus. So this book brought me closer to Jesus. I read Smith Wigglesworth. He was a pastor from England. A powerful man, Miss Pat. If he came here to preach, everybody would be afraid, because this man had more faith in God than I'm trying to get to that level. Well, he believed that he believed. Amen? He prayed for the sick. He laid hands on the sick. I know that would scare some people. Guess what? He spoke in tongues. And I know that would scare some people. Amen? And he said this. He said, my son-in-law, who's also a preacher, he said, he's the smartest man I know. He goes and he reads every book that he can get, and every time somebody gets, and I give it to him, he said, because there's only one book that I want to read. Can you guess what that book was? The Bible. He was a believer. Now, we went in Tennessee, and I found this book in an Amish store. Remember him? In an Amish store. And this is Brandon, Reverend Brandon from Oklahoma also, I believe. And they were free. And they're all about God. So we took five or six of them. I have 40 of them at home. I went up online and I ordered 33 more books to $1 each when you order them. But at the Amish store, they were free. I read that because I want to be fed, amen? I read that. I don't know who he is, but he talks about God. But when he starts talking on his ways, how he thinks, I have to stop reading because I don't agree with that, amen? He's talking about his opinion about women in church. He's talking about his opinion about rock and roll music and about Elvis Presley. And this guy goes on and on. I'm thinking, okay, I'm done with that. Let's go back to your sermon, amen? So I'm telling you that men of God serve him, but sometimes they go off on what they see, amen? So you have to be very careful to get fed. I tell you again, these books feed me. But every word and every lesson must lead me to the simplicity of Christ, amen? I don't want to get in a bondage again because somebody else said I should do something when God never said I should. We're going to have baptism in this church. I've been waiting for 2 years because I've been in bondage thinking we had to get full submersion. And I've been, how are we going to do that? So one day God said to me, it's not the act, it's not the it's having it done. And I'm thinking that we can have it outside next month where people just wash their hands in the water. They wash the dirt off their hands and their face in God's name. An open commitment to God, amen? And I believe that God will honor that if your heart is right, amen? Because I was making a rule that God never said that we had to do exactly that way. It's the act of doing it to God, giving it to God, that makes it right with God, amen? Remember I said there's no perfect prayer. You can't say a perfect prayer, but the fact that you're praying and talking to God is the fact that you're acknowledging and trusting and wanting him to answer, amen? Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. There are so many religions, and they have so many rules and rituals and traditions. And listen to me. And Chuck's going to know. They all might be good, Chuck. I can't wait for the Adventists because you'll do. They all might be good. They all might be good if it's done unto God where he gets praised, amen? Not if it's done because you think you have to do it, amen? Because that takes away the simplicity. Anything that honors God is good. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Make any tradition higher than God. Hallelujah. Not at all. You never do that. Anybody get these books? The 40 things Marcia passed out a couple weeks ago. Anybody get, y'all read them? I read it. I read this book. And you know what I want to do today? I want to show you. I'm going to read from this book. Y'all have this book. Did y'all take them home? Everybody get one of these books? It says 40 Days with Jesus. Sarah Vaughan. And I said, let me read it. And I want to read a couple for you. Are you with me? Oh, let me tell you, that as I read some of these, some of them didn't touch me at all because it wasn't my time and it wasn't my place and wasn't my place with God. I wasn't feeling that way. But as I read some of these, I said, this is beautiful. You know why? Because it leads you to who? Hallelujah. Day 35. She said, now listen to this. Forget the former things. Hallelujah. Do not dwell on the past. Hallelujah. See, I am doing a new thing. I am a God of surprises, infinitely more creative than you can imagine. Amen? Listen, the universe displays some of my creativity, but there is more, much more. I am making a new heaven and a new earth. Moreover, I am preparing my people all around the world to live there with me in endless ecstasy. Let this eternal perspective strengthen and encourage you. As you journey along your life path with me, refuse to let the past define you or your expectations of what lies ahead. You may feel as if the road you are on is tiresome or even a dead end. That is because you're projecting the past into the future. The roadblock you are straining to see up ahead is really just an illusion. The future is in my hands, and I can do surprising things with it. Your greatest danger is giving up. Ceasing to believe that I can still do wondrous new things in you and your world. Your assignment is to keep moving forward and trusting dependence on me. Stop focusing on obstacles you might encounter and concentrate on staying in touch with me. As you continue taking steps of trust, expect the path before you to open up in refreshing newness. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. How many can deny that? Doesn't that sound like God? Isn't that beautiful? And then when you read that, she She has scriptures to look up. So guess what you do, George? You read that and then you get your Bible and you open up to that scripture and you say, oh, there it is. That's what she was saying. And then you read a little bit before it and you start reading a little bit after it. And guess what? You're starting to read what? This book is bringing, I'm going to read one more. I just show you that I spent some time and I got touched. Thank you, Lord. That was 35. This is 12. Now, you all, hopefully you're going to go home tonight and say, you know what, I'm going to pick that book up and read it. Amen? You start to open up the Bible, and your spirit starts to get lifted up. And you say, this is pretty good. I want to read some more. And I want to learn some more. I pray, my prayer is that you get hungry in whatever you're searching for. And I told Deacon Chuck that I was going to pick on him today because I see the difference. I see a man in search of knowing, wanting to know, amen? Not wanting to know about a religion, wanting to know that what he's doing is okay with God, amen? And I tell you, the only time that it's not is if it takes the place of wanting to know Jesus. If it takes the place of Jesus. If it takes the place of where you need to be with God, amen? If all of a sudden lighting those candles become more important than God, then you take those candles and you throw them outside, amen? But the fact that you're doing it unto God, amen, praising his name lifts everybody up, amen? With knowledge comes wisdom, and with wisdom comes peace and joy in him. Give him praise and glory, church. That's your God. And we all get blessed. Hallelujah. I spoke to somebody the other day who's been going to church for generations, and I mentioned the scripture, thinking she would know the scripture. She said to me the next day, oh, I looked up what you were telling me, and I read it. That's pretty nice. God has more for you than you can imagine, amen? And it's in this book. And to go to church for years and years and generations, and not look at the pages, and not look at the words, and not try to understand, you're the one that's losing, amen? God has said, I've made a way. I made that way for you. I got an answer for you. I've never left you, amen? I've never left your side. That's your God. Give him praise and glory this morning, church. How many know we all fall short daily? You want to admit that with me? So technically, none of us are worthy to receive the Lord, amen? But what Jesus did on that cross made us all worthy, amen? So before we do the Lord's Supper, just ask God to cleanse you. Ask God to forgive you for your iniquities, for the things you might have said or done. Ask him to clean you because you want to receive and you want to remember. Because this is a memorial that we do unto Jesus. This is where he said to remember him, amen? So do that this morning with God. You take it with God. And you let God bless you and you let God lead you. God loves you. He took the bread and he blessed and broke it and told his disciples that this is his body being torn for him. And you know, they didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't understand. But you do. And he simply said, eat and do this in remembrance of him. Accept God's forgiveness today. Accept it. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. So, oh, I'm a sinner. We all are. But accept him in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you said, oh, if I only knew now, if I only knew then what I know now. Well, this is your chance to know now with God. Don't let a day pass. Anybody got a good report from the doctor? How good you feel? A good report at school, on your test, when you got a good report, how good you felt. Jesus has a good report for you, you've been forgiven. He says, I have a report for you, you've been forgiven. He poured the wine into a cup, and he told his disciples, this is my blood being shed for you, according to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins. We all need that. And he simply asked us to do this in remembrance of him. Rejoice in that knowing. We serve
a loving, forgiving, compassionate God who wants for you to prosper, who wants for you to have good success, who wants for you to teach your children about him and your friends and your neighbors about the simplicity which is Jesus Christ.